On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 296 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. You can visit us at tallcanaudio.com, at Tall Can Audio on most of your social media feeds. Back once again for the second time this week, Maddie Lang. What's going on tonight, my man?
We're getting into a little rum and coke by this point of the week. That's what's going on.
Man, I gotta tell you, and for those of you guys who listen to episode 295, on Sunday night, which Maddie also co-hosted, we sort of touched on briefly that, you know, some of the NFL ratings, so much of what was going on was going to be floated a little bit by the awful weather, right? People hunkered down and just trying to get to it. I didn't get to the LCBO, and I've been out of rum for a couple of days, and I got a bit of a hankering. And tonight, I got to tell you, when I went, I fired up the Leaf game. I wanted to watch the first period of the Leaf game tonight. It's as we sit and record this. Both the Leafs and Raptors have just wrapped up on a Wednesday evening. I fired up the Leaf game. I went and I grabbed a pint glass and I headed to the keg fridge and it just started spitting foam at me. And it was laughing at me and we hit the bottom, man. It was empty too. Things were getting a little dire.
Happens when you got the 25 centimeters of snow in Ottawa.
Honestly, man. And I was telling
twice
you, yeah, before, yeah, I was telling Maddie before we fired up the show that Ottawa got dumped again another 20-some-odd centimeters today after getting it again Sunday, Monday. Man, I just wasn't properly prepared. They always tell you, right, natural disasters, you need water, you need food or whatever. I thought I had enough beer. I didn't have enough beer. And it turns out I didn't have enough rum either, man. I was not prepared for this week of just hell. So,
well, you know what? Just lessons learned, right? You got a big weekend, big sports weekends. Yeah. You can never have enough beer or liquor on hand, right?
I really, man, I'm not a rookie at this. I thought I had it. I thought I had it. It just wasn't enough, man. Luckily, well, you know, go ahead.
You're
sorry.
One of few people I know that have a beer fridge, like a keg fridge.
Yeah.
So you're not a rookie anymore.
I didn't make it last. I had company on Saturday. We were all hunkered down enjoying it. And it carried me through Sunday. But when I needed it tonight, it just wasn't there. Luckily, I had a couple of cans of the Railway City Brewing. They have a black coal stout that I really enjoy, and there was a couple of cans of that tucked away in the back of the fridge for just such an emergency. So I'm glad they're going to be carrying me through here tonight.
Always prepared. Always prepared.
Honestly, my man. We got a couple of things wanted to talk about tonight. I assume you spend more time watching the Raps tonight than the Leafs. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment tonight, especially after the Leafs start to run away with it.
Okay.
You know?
I obviously was the opposite. I watched the Leafs. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this because we got bigger fish to fry tonight. What were your impressions, though, on the Raptors game? Kawhi sat out again. I believe they said they're expecting him to play on Friday, but the Raps do lose to the Pacers. Anything of note you saw on that one besides a pretty disgusting injury?
Yeah, this one definitely got overshadowed by Oladipo getting hurt. He's been one of the top players. He's getting a lot of buzz for... you know, half season all NBA type team right now. Definitely in the top four point guards in the Eastern Conference. He's been absolutely amazing the last 2 years, and just an awful, awful injury. We're going to see what it is. We discussed this a little bit before we went on air here, but he's going for his MRI tomorrow. Not sure if it's going to be a broken leg, because they did cover it up, which makes me think that there was a bone sticking out somewhere that they didn't want us to see. But the way he went down, it did look like an ACL injury, which do happen very commonly in basketball, especially the way he went down. So either way, it looks like the Pacers are going to be out of their star player for the rest of the year. And for those of you who listened to the podcast on Monday when we talked about this a bit, I had the Pacers finishing in third. I no longer have the Pacers finishing in third.
Right.
After this. So they're still a pretty solid team. I think they'll still finish in the, you know, the 5-6 range without their star player. They still got some good players on their team, but they're definitely not going to be a contender anymore at this point. And they had actually been on the radar for a lot of NBA GMs to make a move. Guys like Corey Joseph had been known to be on the block to try to get a little bit extra shooting on the team. But I think at this point, it's fair to say they're going to sit tight this year and just kind of play the season out now.
Right. What did you make of the team's performance? Like I said, Kawhi sat out. I don't know if you expected that. He's missed a couple now.
And
you're kind of managing him a little bit here. Did you expect him to play tonight? Were you surprised you didn't go for this one?
I had seen they had, even as of yesterday, they had ruled him out of the last two games.
Okay.
So I wasn't too surprised about this one. I'm not even actually sure they took him to Indianapolis or if he's just in Toronto for the time being. He is playing on Friday. They've already announced that. It's a little annoying to watch the Raptors without Kawhi sometimes. And, you know, the excessiveness of him and his load management or whatever they're calling it nowadays.
They do. They keep calling it load management. And it's so annoying, right? Because you look around the league and, yeah, lots of teams sort of manage their guys down the stretch, but not like this, right? Like, and I know we had injury troubles last year and, you know, they want to cooperate with him. They want to keep him happy so they can re-sign him. But this, it feels like it's a bit much, doesn't it?
It's getting, I mean, you definitely feel with the Raptor fans are getting a little annoyed. Trying to stay positive with it. I mean, again, like we talked about the other day, this is not a nothing game, but kind of a nothing game in January.
Right.
We're coming up to the All-Star break. If the guy needs a break, you kind of give the guy a break. We're, like we talked about, this is a team that's made to play in late April, May and June, right? These games don't matter anymore to the Raptors, and they shouldn't matter to the fan base either, as long as we come top two. That's, you know, as long as you come top two, everything's kind of gold for the Raptors and Raptor fans, I think. The last couple games, CJ Miles has been playing better. Norman Powell's been on an absolute hot streak. Danny Green's back to playing well. Those are the guys that need to be playing well for this team to go far.
Right.
Because every team in the playoff has their two stars, but you need your pseudo stars to play really well. It's still a shorthanded team, right? We're still playing Greg Monroe too much with JV out. He should finally be coming back. He's at least practicing now, so he's coming closer to coming back. Ananobi was also out again with more personal issues.
Yeah.
He's been dealing with some family stuff all season. Hopefully he's getting that stuff kind of sorted out, and from just like a personal situation, a mental situation, you hope he'll be okay as the season goes along. But you can't put too much stock in this game. Like we talked about with the Leafs, I think they're just starting to look forward to the break and getting a couple days off at this point in the season. It's a long grind of a season, and yeah, they're good. I mean, they still almost pulled it off.
They were down by quite a bit in the third, and I'm like, well, I'm probably going to stop paying attention to that. And then at the end, there they were within, 4 points, I think.
They got it down. Again, kind of a nothing game. I'm not putting too much stock in anything I see from here until, you know, I think it's just after the All-Star break. We got a good stretch against the Spurs, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Lakers. That's really going to be the test of time. I think there's a game coming up shortly against the Bucks as well, which I'm sure they'll have all guns firing in case there's a tiebreak situation with the Bucks at the end of the season. They're going to need to win to tie up the season series here. So I expect that that to be the next game to really pay attention to, and really all of us should be on our TV sets watching that game.
An interesting night for the Leafs tonight. They're going into the break sputtering heavily. They face Stanley Cup champs, and Ovechkin decides he's going to play. I don't think you and I have spoken about this specifically. He's opted out of the All-Star game, so the league mandates you must serve a one-game suspension. Personally, I think Ovechkin has been in so many of these, he probably should be exempt from it, but that's not how this thing works. With that in mind, and the fact that he is to be suspended for a game either before or after the All-Star game, it seems ridiculous to me that he gets to pick, right? Like,
yeah,
Rob disagreed with me, and his point was it doesn't matter. It should be the to me, the league should mandate it. It probably always the first game after the All-Star break, because maybe you decide at the last minute to show up, maybe whatever. I always thought Ovechkin would play this game because it was a division game, whereas the game after the All-Star break is against Calgary. It's not a division game. It sounds like you agree, but it seems weird that you get to tell the league when you'll be suspended as opposed to the opposite, don't you think?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous and ludicrous, quite frankly. Essentially, if you elbow a guy to the head and you get a two-game suspension, you serve the next two games.
Right.
Because you're getting suspended for that occurrence.
Right.
If you're missing the All-Star break, you're getting suspended for missing the All-Star break. You don't get to cherry-pick a game against a weak opponent or an opponent in the other conference that's not going to matter on a tie break.
Right.
That's absolute bullshit. And you know, they're trying to make – it's unfortunate, right? Because they're trying to force the All-Star game to be something important.
Yeah.
And then it just loses all value when you let the player choose which game he's going to miss.
Yeah.
Look at a guy like Carey Price. Goalies don't play every game either, right? It's like when pitchers get a five-game suspension in the Major League Baseball season.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? You're missing one game?
Right.
You know, it's kind of asinine a little bit. I'm also of the opinion that if you get voted into the All-Star game, you show your ass up.
Yeah.
I get that it's a grind, Matt. Yep. I get that. I've said this a million times in the last week with you. But it's part of your fucking job.
Let me ask you this first. Will you watch the All-Star game, the NHL All-Star game?
I'll watch the skills competition.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that. I love watching, whether it's the NBA or the NHL skills competition, always kind of the best part of the weekend for me.
I'm with you there.
I've watched more of the NHL All-Star game now that we've changed the format to the 3-on-3.
Okay.
I thought it's been a little more exciting. I think at some point in the 2000s, we all got kind of sick of the shinny
14,
side of it.
12 and nobody gives a shit and they're all over. Let me ask you this then in comparison, because I think this is a fair point. And before I do, I'll say that the answer for me is yes. Did you look forward to, did you like the All-Star game more? Were you into it as a kid or as a young teenager?
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So that's what we're doing here, right? Like obviously that's the whole point. And I probably won't watch it. I've watched, like you, I watched the skills competition most year. I thought last year it got a little gimmicky with some of the stuff they were trying. But for the most part, the traditional stuff, I like the accuracy. I like the hardest shot. I like the breakaway stuff. I'm down with all that. But the game, even in this 3-on-3 format, I don't really care. But I do remember being super young to the point where I was asking people to tape it for me when I was busy.
Oh,
and I want to see when Jagr gets to play on Gretzky's wing, right? Like, that was weird, and you never got to see it.
No, that's it. And this is the discussion we've had in the past about should the NHL be in the Olympics.
Yeah.
100%, because you're building the game, and it's not only about the 30-year-old guy who's watching the game.
Right.
Because, the stats guys on Twitter don't give a shit, and they shouldn't.
No.
It's not about them, though. It's about the 7-year-old kid who's falling in love with the sport, who's the next generation of fan.
Yeah.
And that's what this comes down to, right? And listen, I sat at the All-Star game for the NBA in Toronto. The skills competition was one of the better skills competition days with the dunk and the because that was the three rounds of 10s between Gordon and Zach LaVine.
Right.
As well as Klay Thompson just going absolute apeshit from three ball. against Steph Curry. So that was a great event. That was by far, I mean, that's a 10 out of 10.
It was Kobe's last too, was it not?
It was Kobe's last.
Yeah.
And even being there for Kobe's last All-Star game, it was a 3 out of 10, and Kobe gets the 3 out of that. The game itself was kind of crappy. The West just runs away with it because they had more stars.
Yeah.
Last year's NBA All-Star game, a little bit better. They followed the lead of the NHL and did a draft instead.
I think that's fun. I like it.
It's a little different in the NBA as opposed to the NHL All-Star when they did the All-Star draft.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just the accessibility of the stars in the NBA, right?
Sure, yeah.
It's five guys at a time. There's not line changes. It's the same five guys against each other for most of the game, minus changes and stuff. So, I mean, it's 12-on-12 still, but mostly 5-on-5, right?
Right.
And you got to see a really great ending to the game where you had Durant and LeBron closing down on Steph as he's trying to hit the game-winning shot and end up stopping him from shooting the shot. And I thought, you know, that again, it provides you with something you're not going to see normally.
Right.
LeBron and KD teaming up against KD's own
teammate. That's
teammate,
awesome,
right?
Man. That's
and
awesome.
You're never going to see that. That's something that happens in practice that we're not privy to. So it took it to another level. I like the fact the NBA this year has decided to televise their draft as well.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, did not go great for the NHL in the past.
Well, yeah, it left Phil... Poor Phil sitting there last. It became a thing. But even that had its moments, right? It was kind of fun. Ovechkin's taking his picture from up on stage while he's the last guy sitting there. And
it definitely gave us some moments, right?
I don't think the PA loved it. I'm sure you don't love it if you're the last guy sitting there, but they did it for a couple of years. It was fun.
But as long as you don't take
it too seriously, right?
You're the last pick of the All-Star game.
You know what to me was more damning than that? When you're talking about Durant and LeBron trying to shut down Steph, to me, that's awesome. You would never see that in the NHL one because the first thing they do when Alfredson's a captain is he picks Carlson and then he picks Craig Anderson. It's that hockey culture, right, that you take care of your – doesn't matter if they should have been the first pick. You pick your guys. Whereas the fun thing would have been when the game's in Ottawa to see Carlson and Alfredson on a power play against Craig Anderson, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that and the NHL's just not like that. They don't know how to have fun the same way that the NBA does. Right? It's
now granted, I can't fault Alfie for taking Carlson.
No, that's fair.
I mean,
that's legit.
That's a pretty decent pick,
yeah,
right?
For sure it is, yeah. So Ovechkin has decided this time he's going to miss it. As you said, when you get voted in, I think you should go. But he's gone every time, right? And we like to give the Euros shit. We like to whatever, right, as a North American. For a long time, Sid had only been to like two of these because of injuries and Olympics and all kinds of other stuff. Whereas Ovechkin had gone all the time. I don't know that he should have been suspended. I'm with you that you should go. But I think, you know, if you're a certain age and you've been to a certain amount, you should have like one get out of jail free card kind of thing. Go ahead.
I hear you. I hear you for that. I get the exception rule. And Ovi had a long season. And
yep.
He partied for 3 months after they won the Stanley
sure
Cup.
Sure did.
I get it. Don't get me wrong. Listen, Brett Hull didn't miss any.
Yeah.
Gretzky didn't miss any.
Yeah.
Mario didn't miss any. It's not a hard game. They're not playing their asses off.
No, you're right.
You know, go and enjoy it. I know they probably want to head down to Florida on the beach or down to the Bahamas.
Yep.
But just, you know, half the reason you're making $10 million a year is because the league gets to do these events, right? So the guys who make the $10, $12 million, they have no excuse.
You're probably right.
You know,
the thing that bugs me, you brought up Carey Price earlier. Carey Price is not having an all-star season. He doesn't deserve to go there. But they need to have someone from every team. And so on name value, he's the guy that goes. And now if he turns around and says no, which I think he did.
He did.
They go, then fuck you, you're suspended. Even though he doesn't deserve to go. He shouldn't have been there. It's their shitty rule that put him in there. And then he goes, actually, I'd rather not. And they go, then fuck you. Right? Weird, man. There's nothing more NHL than that. Having an undeserving guy go just to fill out your quota. And then when he refuses, you suspend him. That's so weird.
I mean, yeah, that's where it just turns itself on its own ass. But that's the NHL, like you said, right?
Sure.
They're the one league that makes the most, I mean, since the 70s, right? And you go like, why can't the NHL get bigger in some markets?
Yeah.
Because of dumb rules like this, right? I mean, they should just, I mean, can you imagine the NBA saying every team needed to have a player?
Oh my God.
It'd be absolutely, we'd be having these arguments like, oh, I guess Steph Curry's not going this right. year because we're already sending Durant.
We need a Pelican.
No, it's it's ridiculous. I mean, I always hate that we've renamed all these divisions. I still want to call them the Campbell Division and stuff like that.
Attaboy.
Whatever it is, the Atlantic, whatever the hell the Leafs are in.
Yeah.
Right? It's the Atlantic, right?
Yep.
So it should be basically Leaf players, Tampa players, Eichel, and
probably Scared. Pasternak.
And Pasternak, right? You should have those three guys.
For me,
and Tampa players.
It's like four Lightning, four Leafs. Probably Pasternak from Boston, Shabbat from Ottawa, Eichel from Buffalo, and that's it. The rest of you can take a hike, right? Like, no Red Wings, no Habs, no, like, you just haven't earned it. This, we sent Leo Komarov a couple of years ago. Leo Komarov is not an all-star, but the
Absolute
Leafs were
garbage.
Awful, so
Absolute
there you
garbage.
Go.
Absolute garbage. And he wasn't even picked last overall, I don't think.
No. The Leafs do win their last game before the all-star break. Slumps busted all over the place. Matthews gets one, gets a goal. I think it's his maybe first or second in 13 games. Nylander gets three assists. Kadri gets a hat trick after he's been struggling terribly. Zaitsev gets his first goal of the year. All kinds of monkeys being thrown off the back in this one. The Leafs, for me, played pretty well. They gave up a lot of shots, but you should probably expect that against the Stanley Cup champs. Ovechkin was good. He got his bell rung hard. TJ Oshie and him collided in the neutral zone, and they took him for the concussion protocol and all these things. But he comes back, gets another goal. I wanted to ask you, he now has tied himself for the most points ever scored by a Russian in the National Hockey League. Who do you think he's tied? Highest scoring Russian ever in the league.
Oh, I'm going to go with Fedorov.
Fedorov is the correct answer.
Ooh.
Do you remember guy, man, in the 90s?
Yeah.
Just so good. They played him on defense for a while because he was so good. He's winning Hart trophies. He's scoring 100 points all over the place. Man, so good. Like, a lot of younger fans only remember him. He's kind of bouncing around between Columbus and Anaheim and Washington at the end. But as a Red Wing, man, so, so good.
He was outstanding, and that's still, to this date, the only non-Canadian hockey jersey I have is the Sergei Fedorov Red Wing jersey.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't get me, I hated the Red Wings.
Sure.
I hated
man,
them.
He was
they
good.
They were in our division. Yeah. I hated them. I couldn't stand them. When they moved, you know, the leagues got realigned, I preferred the Avalanche.
Yep.
But, man, I love Sergei Fedorov.
Just so good, man. So good.
Back in the day when you had Fedorov, McGillney, Bure, for those, you know, there's a couple guys probably listening to this who are younger than us, but when those guys came over, they...
That was a line at One World Juniors, and they torched the world.
Yeah, I mean, there had been Russians who came over before, but when those guys came over, it changed hockey.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If anybody doesn't know or doesn't remember Pavel Bure before the knee injuries, go back... TSN still got the top 10 highlights from when he retired up online on YouTube. It is the best 5 minutes of hockey you're ever going to watch.
And there's like a couple of clips of him like on breakaways with the Canucks still, right? Where like when he hits the blue line, he's flying so fast that even from the blue line in, he's barely got time to make the moves he wants before he shoots because he's just coming so hard, right? Like, unreal.
Yeah. He was so, and for a small guy at that time period too, he could fly. He was getting the shit kicked out of him most games, but man, that guy had more skill in his pinky than most NHLers do now in their whole body.
Yeah.
He's also part of that, I guess the demographic where we decided, hey, we need to clean the game up a little bit because we're killing our stars. Right?
Yes. Yeah. It's true, man. The New Jersey Devils probably took years off his career.
Oh, 100%.
So Ovechkin ties him, and you got to assume pretty quickly after the break, Ovechkin will become the highest scoring Russian in league history. Pretty impressive. The Leafs were pretty impressive. like I said, a bunch of guys who got a monkey off their back. They're going to go into the All-Star break feeling better about themselves. You know what? I think it's a good win for them. And, you know, hopefully it gets them going coming out of this. There was, you know, Dubas spoke to the media the other day, but there wasn't a whole lot there. The only thing to me that was noteworthy was some talk that they were making some progress on a contract with Matthews. Elliot Friedman's reporting on TV that he thinks it's not going to be an 8-year deal. It maybe is a 5 or 6 year deal, which means you're buying fewer UFA years, which would keep the cap number down and allow mm-hmm. you to maybe have a better chance of keeping all these guys together. It makes me a little bit nervous, but I get it. I think I'm okay with that. If you were to give, you know, Matthews 5 years at 10 or 11 instead of 12 or 13, and then maybe, you know, if you get Marner at 8.5, 9.5 instead of 10.5 on a 6-year deal, the cap's gone up again. By the time you now have to deal with these guys, you no longer have Patrick Marleau on the books, all these sorts of things. It's just sort of a kicking the stone down the road a little bit. Money's not going to be an issue for the Leafs. If they have to wait on the cap to go up a bit, I don't really have a problem with that. I'd love to have them both locked up longer than that, but if this is a way to get that done, then so be it, right?
You know what? I've seen too many times, every time there's a star in waiting, the teams just throw these 8-year deals at them. And it's, we can maybe look at it and go, hey, this is the best thing to do, right?
Yep.
This is what you want to do with your number one player. But we don't know, right? We don't. Marner, as good as he's been, and the numbers he's putting up are comparable to all-time greats.
Yeah.
Not many people have put up 60 points in their first 3 seasons, except for Hall of Famers.
Right.
He's still a small guy, and mm-hmm. we don't know how he's going to hold up to the rigors of the NHL.
Yep.
Matthews is, I mean, these guys are both, what do we say, 22, right? 21 or 22 right
yep,
now. So
that's right, yep.
Again, he should be a star, but he still hasn't had that absolute breakout year where he's in a top 5 of scoring. And he's
have a guy like Romo in there pointing it out on each play. This one,
and we've talked about this, he needs to fill out a little bit.
Yeah.
But until the guy can play a full season, I'm okay not offering him 8 years at a max contract. And I don't think anybody should be upset about it. One of the best moments I thought he had was in that overtime where he pointed out on that Gronkowski 3rd and long call that really set up the win. He somehow managed to, you know, get his teleprompter pen out, circled the safety and said, if Brady sees the safety step in,
yep.
it's going to Gronk.
Right.
And sure enough,
yep.
that's exactly what happened. He made a couple really good reads on, again, the defensive line saying, oh, if this guy moves in a step here and starts to collapse, look for the Patriots to run to the outside. And again, it was just like he was Nostradamus out there making play calls and adjustments on the line of scrimmage.
Sure. It's like he's still standing in there, yeah.
And he gets chirped a lot on the Twitter sphere for maybe having a little too much fun out there.
Nah, but it's so good, man.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And as an adjunct story today, I've heard him on a podcast before. And I'm forgetting which podcast it was on, but the interviewer was talking about playing Madden with Tony Romo at his house.
Oh, really?
And he said Tony Romo just schools everybody at Madden because he knows exactly the play call that's happening. So he's making actual audibles
on his PlayStation. Yeah, that's awesome.
And just murdering kids. And, you know, there's probably like 7-year-old kids out there who can't figure out why they can't beat this guy, you know, at Romo number one fan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it's just interesting to be able to you know, watch the way he's able to pick it apart and you know, look at a guy like Brady and just know, yeah, I've been in that spot. Here's what he's going to do, and no one does it better. So, yeah, man, it's really good. As we take a first look then, we've got, you know, an interesting Super Bowl, LA Rams versus New England Patriots. Another version of what we talked about here today, the experienced quarterback versus the you know, the young kid that's up and coming. What to you stands out with this matchup? What will you be looking for beyond that fairly obvious storyline that, you know, jackasses like me are going to be painting for the next 2 weeks? Does this look like a good one to you?
I think the matchup sets up really well I already looked up the line on Vegas. It's 1 point for the Patriots.
Okay.
Which, if you're like me and you're constantly checking Vegas lines, they're always shading the Patriots.
Right.
Every time. So this to me tells me they think there's a legitimate chance that LA wins this championship.
Okay.
Okay. Usually they add 2 to 3 points to the Patriots because at the end of the day, it's John Q. Public.
Yep.
Won't bet on the Patriots every time.
Yep.
Even today I heard that there was more money on the Patriots, even though they were +3, playing in Arrowhead.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Even going against the line, they were still a lot of money coming in the Patriots. So to me, I think this is kind of an odd line. I thought they would have gone a little higher, at least 3 points for the Patriots playing on a neutral field in Atlanta. I think it sets up pretty nicely. LA's got a really good offense. There's a lot of questions about Jeffrey Goff still. He doesn't look like the most – he's not the coolest under pressure quarterback out there. He takes a lot – too much footwork. He'll throw a lot of balls away. If the Patriots get the type of pressure they were getting today with three men in, it could be some trouble for them. Now, the LA Rams, they have a great defensive scheme. They've got an old Patriot in Talib Khalid, who's a little bit older now, but still a shutdown defender as a cornerback. They've got Ndamukong Suh and a really good defensive back package. They're going to cause a lot of trouble for Tom. They're really going to need much like today, they're going to need everybody to be chipping in on blocks. Gronkowski better be feeling okay because he's going to be mostly a blocker come 2 weeks from now and getting his, odd throw here and there. I'd expect another tight game, to be honest. I don't think one team runs away with this either way. McVay, Belichick is another great storyline we're going to hear a lot about. McVay's the youngest coach to ever go to the Super Bowl, and he's younger than Tom Brady. So take that for what it's worth.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, all right.
Right. God, I'm still a little bit of in awe as the highlights are just rolling through my TV here, and I just kind of had to take a second to breathe in deeply. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun Super Bowl. I think being on a neutral field inside, both the teams are going to let go. We're going to see some big plays happen. Hopefully there's not so many flags. The one disappointing part to me, of the Patriot-Kansas City game was – the big, I want to say what it was, when Mahomes came down and they ended up scoring with about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
That one series was a little undermined to me because there was three penalties on the entire play, entire series.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when they ran an illegal interference on the offense side, they missed.
Sure, yeah.
So, and that was the play that led to the short run for the touchdown.
Right.
That takes away from the game a little bit. When that's such a big moment, Super Bowls get to, typically are called pretty tightly. One of the biggest concerns
is here to lure the co-host back into the studio once that happens, for obvious reasons, but we'll see how things shake out here over the next couple of days. It's been really interesting. Don't forget to let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at TallCanAudio. What you thought about the earlier question? Is it offside to be ordering takeout in a winter blizzard, or should you have to go and get that shit for yourself if you want to be partaking? My name is Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors number 73 on the top.
And then there's some very, very questionable ones getting thrown out as well. So, listen, the worst part about Super Bowl season is week one because it's literally nothing but media days and trying to find.
It's a great clip from The Simpsons. And now both teams will endure a harrowing bye week that no one enjoys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an interesting matchup to me, man. LA, the Rams, ever since they've moved back there, I don't know, man. I've got a couple of friends who over the last couple of years, and Rob included, who have sort of jumped on this bandwagon, right? That it's kind of the new cool thing. And, they got some young guys. And I think this is a really fun matchup, even in that sort of casual environment where, you know what? Yeah, we can break this down a thousand ways till Sunday, and us and lots of people will. But just that sort of old school, the Patriots have been doing it forever. They have their established fan base. Lots of them get accused for being, you know, homers or not homers.
Outside of those guys, the only one who's come up, can you name him? To actually be a star. Outside of those four or five guys that I named, can you name the one guy who's truly become a star? And don't count Patrick Mahomes because he's done it for a year.
Yeah, okay.
Although I think he's going to be the next big guy. Can you name the other guy who's even come close and actually won a Super Bowl?
It's funny, in the time that you've mentioned those guys that have been around forever, Tony Romo's come and gone. He's now in the fucking booth. And then Danny Green ends up in the deal. And so, you know, it kind of played out how it did. But to me, it's an interesting night for the franchise to go down there, not really show up in any way, you know, get beat pretty good on national television in the U.S., although they've been on that quite a bit this year.
Well, that was Golden State up here a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, both games with Golden State have been on.
And national coverage, and Toronto did pretty well.
One with Philly, I think, one with Boston.
And it's funny because
three people who left that night. Everyone else just saw a huge superstar come out on stage. This was unexpected. This was unique. Said, I don't think all of them were thrilled to see him, but they all knew that was an option for them. And he just goes, I don't know who gets to decide what we're okay with when it's on the Three Down Nation podcast for your CFL guy. It's a great listen. Whether or not introducing more of a, similar to the NHL, similar to the NBA, the pre-free agency courting period, whether or not has been injured.
I'm giving you the points per game because if you remember, Connor McDavid missed half of his first season.
Yep. So you have to start factoring in goals per 60, right? 5-on-5 goals per 60 minutes, 5-on-5.
I'm looking at points per game.